I chose this Venerable Sariputta Sutta about him because I really like him as a person and not as chief or he has the power or next to Buddha. The amazing thing about him as a person was really touching to me. So that is the one main reason I chose, okay? And in the first, you have the pages, you have the thing. I think it is better because I will see with the page and tell, that's why. You have it? No. What happened?
I have brought it to my kriti.
Oh, here. Here.
Okay.
Okay.
We got it, Robbie. Thanks.
The first few pages of his Sariputta history was about their childhood and how rich they were, Sariputta and Moggallana. Their childhood name was Upatissa and Kolita. Moggallana was Kolita and Sariputta was Upatissa. In their early life, they are very rich, so they just move around like any of us with the luxury and they enjoy the sensual pleasure very much, but they were not so satisfied. At that time, Buddha was already enlightened, and then he had about 61 arahants already, and one of the arahants was elder named Assaji. And when Assaji was going for the alms round, because of his radiant look and the behavior, Sariputta was very much attracted to him. I should tell about a little background though. Both Sariputta and Moggallana has the previously their own teachers also, Anyway, when that he saw Venerable Assaji, he asked this one question: "Be it little or much that you can tell, the meaning only please proclaim to me. To know the meaning is my sole desire. Of no use to me are many words." So he asked that question to Elder Assaji. Then Elder replied, uttered this stanza: "Of those things that arise from a cause, the Tathagata had told the cause and also what their cessation is. This is the doctrine of the great recluse." Once he got these two lines, suddenly, because of his previous parami, he just got the insight and he became Sotapanna. How easy for them? Here we are struggling years and years. Anyway, I go to this, I left out the original aspiration, which you can read on page 11. The reason he became that fast is because in the past life with so many Buddhas, he had done the good merits. That is the main thing about it. And then they also, on page 13, Sariputta in the Jatakas, it explained, okay? From there, when it goes on, my favorite thing is Sariputta as the man. So when Sariputta, the chief disciple, when they use it during the Buddha's dispensation, Buddha was not doing it for like an heir or anything, not in that nature. To help him out for these chief disciples when he is very busy, when he have to go around and all, these two disciples with two different, actually they are very different personalities. One is very strong with concentrative power. Then Venerable Sariputra was very soft-minded and gentle, almost like a mother. And the other one was Pusha, like a very strong friend. So they are like that, okay? It was said that to be appointed a chief disciple is to shoulder an immensely heavy responsibility in all areas of dispensation. It is to share the Buddha's burden of compassion and to work in closest cooperation with him to ensure the Dhamma and becomes successful, prosperous, extended, popular, widespread, who well proclaimed among the devas and the humans. So that is the main reason for choosing. And another thing is every Buddha has these disciples, left and right, and also for the bhikkhunis, they have the same equivalent as these two male disciples. They also have left and right, okay? So in Majjhima 141, in that Sacca Bhanga Sutta, Sacca Vibhanga Sutta, that is on page 18, Buddha said that, "Associate, O monks, Sariputta and Moggallana, and keep company with them. They are the wise bhikkhus and helpers of the fellow monks." Sariputta is like a mother who brings forth, and Moggallana is like a nurse to the newborn child. Sariputta trains these pupils, and in the fruition of stream entry, Moggallana trains them for the highest goal. So in that Majjhima 141, Buddha said that word about two of them. And they are very close and very respectful to each other. And really good friendship that they have, but a little bit of different personalities. Sariputta was always a helper as a person. He will help all the sick people, all the people who are like a leprosy and all. And when people went for this, it's on page 21. When people go for the alms round, he will always be behind because he had to clean up the yard, the leftover. So always in a hurry, but never resentful. He did those because of his nature of his mind that he did that. The thing that he is so unresentful was whenever anybody tried to attack him, or by words or by anything, he will be very patient and try to forbear it. And one day there was a Brahmin who did not believe that, that Sariputta is very patient. So when they were talking, people said Sariputta is patient and all. Then he said, I don't believe it, I had to prove it. So when he was going for the arm round, and I don't know whether that was this page, my eyes were not seeing. But anyway, he was at the back and pounded to the chest. And Sariputta did not see because he's meditating as well as from the back. And he just said, oh, and then finish. And at that time, the Brahmin was really convinced that how unresentful he is, and he didn't care about, you know, who hit him or what it is, that type of personality. Okay? It was a tremendous blow. They said it really shook his back, but he tried to be very patient. Okay? Now, he was so humble that I think this story everybody knows, but they said in Susima Sutta that a young novice who was newly ordained, 7-year-old, we all know the story, I guess, because of his job that he had to do so much, one of his robe was not straight in a hurry, and then the novice remind him. So he really joyfully accept that novice saying and say he did it again to make it nice, and then he rearranged the garment. And about this, it was written in Milinda Panha that it was written about Sariputta how humble he is. Then, if one who has gone forth this day at the age of 7 should teach me, I accept it with lowered head. At sight of him, I show my zeal and respect. May I always set him in the teacher's place. So it was written there how humble he was about the whole whoever teach him. Okay. Then the master knew about his worthiness, and then he said, as in this Navasutta that was on page 27, that as the devas paid about homage to Indra, so one should revere the person through whom one has learned the Dhamma. So that was Buddha's saying about Sariputta, okay? Then there was a jealous monk, who was having a grudge to Sariputta that when they have this the arm round and all, Venerable Sariputta had to say that with the family name and where this monk come from, that type of thing. For that one particular monk, he forgot or something happened. He didn't mention it. So that monk thought, well, he purposely did it to me. And then when Venerable Sariputta was walking, the robe touched him by accident, and he make a grudge on that. Look, Sariputta, Venerable Sariputta did that to him. So he went and told Buddha, Venerable Sir, he was Venerable Sariputta, Lord, Venerable Sariputta, doubtless thinking to himself, I am the chief disciple, struck me a blow that almost damaged my ear. So, and having done that, without so much as begging my pardon, he set out on his journey. So Buddha knew that was not true. And then Venerable Ananda and then Venerable Moggallana knew that was not true. So they all gathered the other monks, because in Sangha community, if something happened, like the whole group had to know, and then they all go in front of Buddha and tell and to clear up the situation. That was the routine thing they do it. So when they reached the Venerable Sariputta, say he did not do it on purpose, and then he gave his lion's roar that whatever he, his mind was like earth, water, wind, fire. They are never, when you touch the earth or spit on the earth, nothing happened. Like the water, you do something into the water, nothing happened. So that type of reply, he said it in front of everybody. And his insight was so pure and so telling the truth that the whole earth shook around each time he said this. So that was the 9 points. And if you look in the page 28, you will know the detail of what he had taught, okay? It was the sutta there. I did not see the sutta, but I think it was the lion's roar or so, if I remember right, okay? In the end, he said, Venerable Sir, I feel pardon. This venerable monk, and he joined with joint palms, he added, may this venerable monk also pardon me if I have in any way offended him. In this way, they were reconciled. Other monks were filled with admiration, and see, brethren, the extraordinary goodness of the elder. He cherishes neither anger nor hatred against this lying, slanderous monk. Instead, he crouches before him, stretches his hand in reverence and asks his pardon. So the Buddha said about him with this verse. It was in Dhammapada. I also wanted to sell Dhammapada because it was my favorite. Okay, Dhammapada is my favorite. So may I read this? Unresentful like the earth, firm like a gate's post. So they always say Indra's post. Equipoise and strong in vows, mind without impurities like a pool. For such a one, the round of births exists no more. That is the word of the Buddha. It was in Dhammapada 95. Okay. Now on page 29, the topic is friendships and relatives. And they in there they mention about the friendship between Venerable Moggallana and the Venerable Sariputta. When one trained the pupils, when Venerable Sariputta trained up till about Sotapanna stage, he will send it to Venerable Moggallana to train furthermore, because the other one has the more of this samadhi, that meditative power of abhinya and all, whereas Venerable Sariputta do not have that abhinya. It's very interesting though, okay, in his meditative when I read several years back, maybe I don't get it or I forgot. But today, when I read it again, it was very exciting about that his meditation process. I will tell you when it comes to it. Okay? And So when Venerable Moggallana trained his students until Sotapanna also, he will send to Venerable Sariputta to do it, his pupils to train, keep on training, you know. So they have these two friends giving each other like that. And with Venerable Ananda also, very close friendship between the three of them, okay? Then there was one thing with this Venerable Anuruddha. We all know that he had this Devachakku, the power of this seeing in Anuruddha, very strong because of his concentration and all. So, but he was not enlightened because he had a sort of this, I am the owner of this power or something like that. The more he meditated, he's very good with this vidya. He can try, he do so many things to get it. So he approached Venerable Sariputta. And then when he explained and told to the Venerable Sariputta, friend Sariputta, with the divine eye that is purified, transcending human sight, I can see the thousandfold world system. Firm is my energy, unremitting, and my mindfulness is alert and unconfused. My body is tranquil and unperturbed. My mind is concentrated and pointed, and yet my mind is not free from cankers and not free from clinging. So when Venerable Anuruddha told that to him, as a very true friend, he told the truth, what the Venerable Anuruddha can do. So his reply was, friend Anuruddha, that you think thus of your divine eye, this is conceit in you. That you think thus of your firm energy, your alert mindfulness, your unperturbed body, and your concentrated mind. This is restlessness in you. That you think of your mind not being freed from cankers, there is worrying in you. It would be good indeed if you would abandon these three states of mind and paying no attention to them, direct your mind to the deathless element. And because of that very sincere advice, Venerable Anuruddha just practiced. Within a few days, he became Arahant. So that's how faithful he, Venerable Sariputta, was to his friends, very sincere. Okay? I think it was about, I don't know what I did. Oh, it was about his mother. The mother was very resentful about her son. They were very rich. Her son and the whole group of monks going for alms round, She will give the food, but she gave the food after cursing all of them because she resented that her son, who is supposed to be enjoying the richness of the family, multimillionaire type of thing, and here going in poverty and staying among the group of monks just like beggars. So every time they went for the alms round to the mother's house, not with a good willingly paying food, but with that type of, you know, resentful thing, "You all turn my son into this beggar style," and she scold and she yell. But he never get angry with his mom, and he always go very dutifully, and then his anger he never show. So for this, Buddha praised him, and he said, "He that is free from anger, who performs his duties faithfully, he that guards the precepts and is free from lust, he that has subdued himself, he that wear his last body, he it is I called a Brahmin." That is on the Dhammapada 400. These are Buddha's words about Venerable Sariputta. Because at the time when they were doing these arm rounds, Venerable Rahula, Buddha's son, was very young. He was small. So he was just dangling as a samaneri and go around and follow. So of course, as a child, when that old lady was scolding and cursing and yelling, he went and told his father, "Buddha, look, Venerable Sariputta's mother cursed and yelled and never gave fully." So Buddha knew about Venerable Sariputta's mother was like that. She just was so full of anger and cannot. But the one who told was the son, Venerable Rahula. As a child, he told that. So that was about his patience. Now, as a meditator, this part from 34 to page 34 to 36 or so, it really surprised me, but it never occurred to me before. I don't remember if I read. When he meditates, he was not aiming for jhana or anything, but he meditated on his voidness and just being aware of his no I, anatta, that type of meditation. So when you read that page, just three or four pages, you will see about the way he meditate. And also, another thing was, when he was enlightened, I'm sure we all have read this sutta again and again, Diga Nikaneka Sutta, right? From Majima, I think. Remember? Diganeka, in Diganeka Sutta, Diganeka came to Buddha to argue about it, about the feelings and all. He's a Brahmin, just like Venerable Sariputta. Diganeka was Sariputta's nephew, and he went to Buddha to argue and to win his views. But Buddha taught him back in a very nice way with body contemplation, feelings and all. Finally, he became, at the end of that sutta, on Buddha's preaching, Diganeka became Sotapanna. But at that time, Venerable Sariputta was putting the fan like that on Buddha. He was not enlightened yet. That's the day, remember, when we were reading? That's the time when he got enlightened. He was just concentrating when he was penning. He got his enlightenment not sitting or standing or anything. Just while he was standing, he listened to the Dhamma and he was enlightened. That was another thing very interesting. His enlightenment was during the action, not during the real sitting and quiet, okay? And in the stanza of Theragata, what Sariputta recalls was when he attained the arahantship, the Blessed One, the Buddha, the one with vision, was teaching the Dhamma to another. While the Dhamma was being taught, I kept an ear keen on goal. That listening of mine was not in vain, for I am released free from cankers. That is from Theragata 995 and 96, and that was Sariputta's saying on that, how he attained his arahantship. Any of these arahants and any of this female and male arahants, when they attain their enlightenment, they always have something to say how they attain it in a very beautiful verse form. So that's how these Therigata and Theragata are, became as Apadana, the books come out. Oh, okay. This one is just now, like I have said before, Venerable Sariputta did not have abhinyas, no abhinyas, like Venerable Moggallana. But when he meditated, his concentration with this insight was so strong. Once he became arahant, he got this with this analytical one. Therefore, what they call this Pati Samvida Mega, the treatise on this psychic power. It just come by itself without the, like a jhana or anything, because of his intellectual, knowledge and very much on that meditation alone, not as a jhana practice, but combination. Because these two go together like one side of the coin each, jhana as well as this insight. So when that is so strong with so much of the purity in the heart, even without the abhinya, he was very strong on concentration, just like the people who had abhinya. What I understood about arahantships are, most of all of the arahants have the several levels of it. They have all the atavas gone, but the way they, according to the practice also, the levels are not the same. Some are very good with the one part, others are good with another part, like Moggallana very good with the concentrative, those power that he can shock the whole, go up to the sky and shock the sajas mat or whatever, and whereas the other people cannot do. Okay, it was funny how each arahant was, but they do have all the kankas gone. That was the same. One time, Venerable Sariputta was doing the meditation, and one of the yakha, that is a very strong type of spirit, he hit his Venerable Sariputta's head real hard. I think we have read about that story also. And it was so hard that if it is another person, it will be split open. But Venerable Sariputta said after the incident, Venerable Moggallana saw the yaka and saw everything. But Venerable Sariputta, he had no power to see the yaka, okay, the demon, because I told you he had no abhinya and no such power. He just said, when Venerable Moggallana asked, "Are you hurt? Something went wrong?" He said, "Well, something hit. I have a little headache," but he cannot see who hit him, whereas Venerable Moggallana saw everything. So that was funny. He said, Venerable Moggallana said, "It is wonderful, friend Sariputta. It is marvelous, friend Sariputta. How great is the psychic power and might of the Venerable Sariputta. For just now, a certain demon gave you a blow on the head. Such a mighty blow it was that it might have felled an elephant or split a mountain peak. But the Venerable Sariputta only says only this, 'I am comfortable, friend Moggallana. I am doing well, friend Moggallana, but I have a slight headache.'" So Venerable Sariputta replied, "It is wonderful, friend Moggallana. It is marvelous. How great is the psychic power and might of the Venerable Moggallana that he should see any demon at all. As for me, I have not seen much as a mud sprite." I don't know what the mud sprite is, but he was telling how powerful his friend is, whereas he himself didn't see. And Buddha was listening at that time that the two elders were talking, his two disciples were talking, and he uttered the following in praise of Sariputta: "Whose mind stands unmoving as a rock, unattached to things that arouse attachment, unangered by things that provoke anger, how can suffering come to one whose mind has been cultivated thus?" So that was what Buddha said. Okay, that was at the time of it. Now, on his meditation, he was mentioning about this. He really abided in the voidness of it all. You know, his meditation was voidness, and also his meditation, like when other arahants or other monks go for meditation, they will say, "Well, I will go into this jhana, this samapatti, and sit down," and they have this determination or adhitana, "I will do such and such hour, and then I will come out." He never do like that. That's the one that surprises me. He was always no eye. He had no eye at all. He just keep on doing the meditation with that voidness, and there's no determination of, "Oh, this will be such and time I come out of this meditation." He had nothing of that nature. All he do was, in his mind was, Nibbana is the cessation of becoming, and then he just, his mind inclined on that Nibbana. That is his type of meditation with voidness. Okay. And Venerable Mahakasapa was telling about that to venerate him, and in this verse, "These many devas, powerful and glorious, 10,000 devas from Brahma's company, stand with jointed hands worshipping him. Sariputta, wise marshal of the Dhamma, the great meditator in concentration, homage to you, O thoroughbred man. Homage to you, O supreme man. We do not know what it is, independence on which you meditate." So that was what the Venerable Mahakasapa was saying. But his meditation was leaning, focusing on Nibbana with the aspect of sunyata, voidness, that's this one. So I thought this was very interesting way of meditation, not like, you know, just determination and going into jhana, getting out, not that of it. Then in another topic is, as a person, that is his thing, and as a meditator, he meditated that sort. As turning the wheel, and there were suttas about what Venerable Sariputta taught, and it was written there about this Mahahati Padopana Sutta, the great discourse on simile of the elephant footprint, and I think you have already put on there, and then Samadhiti Sutta, two very deep suttas that he did in turning of the wheel. One is this simile of the elephant's footprint. Actually, it was doing with the Four Noble Truths. The simile of the footprint was Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering. And then he started on this aggregates, and he go in detail about how to divide these aggregates, elements, and then about his feelings, and no I in that expounding of that sutta. And there was one sutta simile of the soul also, he mentioned about it, to recollect upon this, it was in Pali, is Kathachupama Sutta, actually simile of the soul, Majjhima Nikaya. It's more easier to read in English, the simile of the soul is better. So that was his type of meditation and teaching the Dhamma to turn the wheel. Now comes the Samasita Sutta. Samasita Sutta is very short, okay? But because it is very powerful, that thousands and thousands of devas and brahmas got deliverance, they became released. So that is why I would like to request Sister Deepa to read for me, because the prints are very small and I cannot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get close to you so I can...
You won't. Why
don't you? No, no, you don't have to take it off. I'll just talk loud. Okay, so Samachita Sutta. A large number of devas of tranquil mind come to the Buddha at Jetavana and ask him if he will visit Sariputta, who is preaching at the Migara Mata Pasada on the person who is fettered both inwardly and outwardly. The Buddha agrees in silence and appears at the Migara Mata Pasada. Sariputta greets the Buddha and salutes him. The Buddha relates to him the visit of the devas and tells him that a large number of them can stand in a space not greater than the point of a gimlet, and that too with